NZ On Air Music presents Long Player.
Kia ora, we are Aro.
And you are listening to Tā Wauwau.
Tā tōko te rā koe, ka moe, ngā moe moe a hina te marama.
Tā Wauwau speaks of a place that's beyond perception. It actually comes from a kianga in Te Ao Māori, Kei Tua o Tā Wauwau, which is actually the equivalent of out the gate. So it's used in a cheeky way, but that's beyond Tā Wauwau. What is Tā Wauwau? What is that place? And so Tā Wauwau, the opening track, is written to try and capture what it would feel like coming into this world beyond our perception. Kind of like a
magical,
yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah, magical opening, like,
yeah,
but in a Tā Wauwau way.
Yeah. This album was written the first 3 months of living on the road. Last year we moved into a caravan with our whānau and wrote this mostly travelling around Te Waipounamu. That's where it all started, at least. And we didn't start with the concept, but after, I think we were a few songs in by the time we kind of realised the direction of the album we were heading, and this place beyond perception that we were trying to, well, that we were dreaming up and wanting to share. So yeah, it wasn't the starting point, but it's where we ended up.
Yeah, it's inspired by some of the surreal places and scenes in our country, and watching how our kids experience that.
Yes.
Yeah, and in reflecting on as adults, I was like, oh, how are they seeing it? Like, is it the same perception?
Yeah.
Or are there things stopping us from seeing it that way? Like what we're told is normal and not normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Tā Wauwau tries to undo that, I guess. Like Shrek's layers of an onion.
Yes.
To get to the core that makes us cry for a good reason. Yeah.
Yeah, so we've been on a journey writing concept albums inspired by Te Taiao, going from Manu, Hawaii, He Rāko, He Ngarara, and we have another one that we're going to get into next. But this one was a bit of a step aside, but I guess it's always a lot of our music's always inspired by creation and nature and beauty and wonder and love. You know, so I feel like it naturally still has essences of has an essence of the music we've made previously, although it's quite different. I feel like we've kind of gone in a different direction with the sound and, yeah, letting these ideas kind of naturally come rather than having a starting point being like, cool, we're researching these different elements of nature. This one was more like, these are the things that we're thinking about all the time and talking about all the time.
Mm.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I guess the previous works in our, like, the next upcoming work after this one, they're all kind of externally influenced. Yeah. And these ones are internally.
Very much.
Yeah, yeah. They're quite personal and deep. And I mentioned this to somebody else, but, like, there's kind of a liberation in that, but real deep vulnerability. Yeah, and there's some of those songs where I'm a little bit reluctant to share, only because the people or the situation might be pretty easy to figure out with people who really know us. Yeah, if we give too much away. But it's out there because we believe that, you know, as we've heard with everybody else who are music enthusiasts, songs can give somebody that permission almost to feel what they're feeling and hopefully be able to face it.
Puna Ora is about awakening the magic within us, and like Charles said before, like following our tamariki's lead, I guess, and paying attention to things that maybe as an adult we just kind of wouldn't really notice or have the time to stop and look at, like little worlds where fairies would live, you know, in the middle of a bushwalk or something. And so we stop there for ages, and it's like, yeah, it's kind of, it's a play on the kupu puna in Mokopuna, but also Tupuna. I remember one down in Nelson, I was walking with the kids, and this group of little old ladies, literally, they were so sweet. They were just walking around having a little stretch, and they stopped to delight in just our kids playing and just being themselves, and were like, oh, you know, they were just looking at them in the wonder of like of life, and I was looking at these people looking, you know, these older people looking at our kids being like, man, you guys are doing the same thing right now. You're stopping and you've got this whole beautiful life that you've lived full of all sorts of memories, and I just think it's beautiful that then you have this opportunity to slow down again, you know, and pay attention to things. Yeah, so yeah. Puna is about the wellspring of life.
Yeah, that's what puna means. The Māori kupu puna talks to a spring. And like even what Emily was saying, that the spring is shared. Like the spring I inherit is from all the springs that have come before me. And it's full of that much life. And even our kids carry, you know, more. They carry part of our spring with them. But it's, yeah, it's all connected. It's all generational. Yeah, and I don't think it's an accident that my tupuna Māori decided that moko puna and tu puna were the words for our ancestors and our descendants.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think back to when we were writing the album. I wasn't hapu at the time. I think it was like during the studio time or after that we found out that we had our third one on the way. And it's been a delight as we get closer to this, the release of this album, or now that it's out in the world already, and this new little one on the way too. It's exciting to have to have had them alongside for a lot of the journey, and especially for the tour coming up as well. Just to like, I don't know, to feel them inside and know that they're going to be part of this world soon and get to meet their crazy little siblings, and yeah. Is about chasing the dream, or planning the dream. You know, we didn't just decide to rent our house out one day and hit the road. We had a lot of thought into how it could work and what kind of waka we want to be living in. But we've had so many people since moving into our caravan on the road be like, oh man, like I've always wanted to do that. That's so cool that you're doing it. And I'm just like, just go and do it then. Like, go and plan it. If you want it to happen, you know, you've got to take steps to get there. It's not just going to happen one day, wake up and be like, oh, cool, I'm living in a caravan now. It's like,
maybe
it will. Maybe you'll win some money and be able to do it. But no, I think, yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, one of the first things I remember Charles saying to me when we were dating was like, if you have a dream, write it down and we'll just go and do it, you know? And it's like, not to say that it will happen straight away, but if you want something, you've got to chase it and work hard to find it and do it. And so I'm really happy that we were able to step away from our life that we had in Pukekohe, which was beautiful, but have an adventure with our kids while they're young and live like this. So yeah, it's a song kind of about that. The saxophone solo at the end of the song is by a good friend of ours, Matt Bizzle, who now lives in Australia. When the song was kind of growing and coming to life in the studio, I play saxophone myself, but I knew that I wanted Bizzle on this particular tune, and he killed it. It was amazing. But we also worked with Emily Wheatcroft Snape as our mixing engineer and recording engineer, and she mixed the whole album and was an absolute delight to work with at the lab studio. We had Abraham Coonan on guitar and a bit of keys, yeah, and the odd one little backing track, BV.
And claps,
yeah. Dean Rodriguez on drums, who I studied with back at jazz school way back in like 2010. And then we had Marika Hodgson on bass, the boss.
Yeah.
Who else? We had Ben Whitaker, bringing Taonga Puro. We connected with him at Muri Hiku Matariki, a Matariki event down in Invercargill, yeah. A couple of years ago. And it was, he jumped up on stage with us and started jamming, and we were like, yeah, that was cool. Like, so that was great to get him in. And Callum Lee, who is a bit of a musical wizard, creative genius, yeah, and he just came and joined us with his trumpet, what else did he play? I feel like clarinet, oboe,
yeah.
Bit of backing vocals, yeah, and a few other things, yeah.
Yeah, and all these individuals have like a long list of experiences.
Yeah, they're legends.
Yeah, and it's not to belittle any of that while we don't mention them, but maybe just an encouragement, anyone who's listening to this, because I remember thinking, oh, it's so cool that they've got the hookups. It's like, honestly, Emily's just really good at asking. So if you just ask your te whanau, you know, it's that whole, like, if you don't knock, nobody will answer. All our ideas were recorded, like, just on a voice memo in our phone, acoustic guitar and vocals. A couple of the songs we were able to flesh out more with the classic Logic Pro. But we got to work in
The lab studio.
We recorded our single, well, later single, actually. Yeah. No. Two singles back, Te Karanga.
Before the album.
We recorded it at the lab, and there was something about it. Like, we...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something. It smells like it's history. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
It's got
a vibe, eh?
Yeah, there's a vibe.
And we felt that vibe, and we felt like it would contribute, that like just that vibe, that Modi,
yeah,
would be a beautiful addition to this album.
Yeah, we wanted to be somewhere for a period of time where we could just sit and not feel rushed in recording the song. So we had like 3 weeks there just bringing the different musos in and doing a lot of it ourselves as well. And it was just a beautiful place to be.
Are you happy where you are? Are you reaching for the stars? If the world just suddenly stopped, would you fly high? So you stay right where you are, only looking up above. If God gave you wings, here's your lot, will you still fly? Fire up, kia kata, atapiti, kia hua.
whakataratara is a kupu Māori that means to taunt something. And so this comes from, it comes from the idea that we try to look like something or try to get something from somebody or something without considering the impact of what that is. And throughout the song, there's a tension when you listen to it. Like, it's like, is it going here or is it going there? And that's the idea. Sometimes, for myself, speaking transparently, I could be in a situation knowing that I'm going to benefit from this, and so I'll go hard. But I'm not going to, like, I'm a little bit afraid even or hesitant to think about what the impact of that is on the situation or the other person. Because I know if I learn it, I might feel guilty and then have to step back, but then I'll miss out on all these benefits.
Yeah, I was thinking about the song today. I find this one a little bit trickier to talk about, but I think I summed it up for myself as a song about the build-ups and the letdowns, so the times where you're expecting maybe just to meet somebody or to do something and then that person bails or that thing doesn't happen, and it's just like the feeling you get of like, oh man, I really wanted that to happen. And
yeah,
just kind of that feeling, which we all experience.
Personally, I think it's inspired by them in terms of, hey, mum and dad are trying our best.
We're not
and
perfect.
Yeah. And that's where the vulnerability comes through on the album, and the depth of personal experiences comes from. So it is inspired by them and that kind of that innocent perspective of life, like all things are chill or it's okay.
Mm.
How to find that again as an adult. With still, you know, an awareness of reality. Yeah, that's my whakaro.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I'm like, when I feel like this is going to be an album we look back on and be like, whoa, that was written the first 3 months of living on the road, which was a real crazy time of adjustment, you know, mostly for us two, not even for the kids. The kids were like, sweet as,
where
are we going next? They were happy as, but for Charles and I, like learning how to be in that space together with our kids, you know, a very small space and 24/7 together again, because we'd been, you know, Charles had been working another job and not being at home all the time, you know, whereas now we're like literally always together. And so it's kind of, yeah, but a lot of the themes of the songs, we got quite deep. And I guess when you're road tripping, you know, you do end up having big conversations. And so the kids will be chilling or sleeping in the back at the timings we try and drive each day if we're driving. And that was usually when our big conversations would happen together. And then later in the evenings when the kids are asleep, that's when we'd start kind of turning them into, or, you know, finding the melodies and the lyrics and chords and stuff. I'm coming, mau ahau, hoi nano, kwatau. Returning, e hoki atu nei, pono. Just don't ask me when, cause then I'll need to know.
For me, because I feel like this kind of the story, or I guess the initiating this conversation that led to the song, possibly comes from me. But it's about like kind of wearing a mask to be like, yeah, nah, all things are all good. But actually, there's a bit of hurt, or a bit of anxiety even, being hidden behind that mask. And so I think it's just it's like a call to be honest and not be afraid of that depth. Maybe there's some personal trauma involved as to why I don't let people in. And I know that this isn't just me. You know, I hear time and time again from different people about, and maybe it's a New Zealand thing. I spend a lot of time on Reddit, e te whanau, about, you know, people being like, how to make friends, how to keep friends, how to open up even. And learning what trust looks like in every relationship, because it might not be the same.
Mm.
And so Pretend kind of is a song about trying to work that out.
Mm.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. It's a song about appearing in control even when everything's kind of out of control.
Yeah,
out of our control as well.
Yeah, kia ora.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time putting the songs into the order we felt was going to be the best for telling the story, but also for the listening, you know, the listening ear and where it needed to go next.
Yeah, I love telling stories. And so that was really, it's really important for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I see that I'm quite like geeky and nerdy about it too. And really pragmatic. Like, when did we write that song? Which situation? Yeah. All those kind of things. And it doesn't just fall out of the sky for me.
Yeah.
As well, it could. And then, but even if I catch it, I'm still going to look at it like critically.
Yeah. And sometimes for me, it's as simple as like, I'll get to the end of the song before and be like, it needs to go to this one next. You know, you just hear which one it is.
Sometimes
it's as simple as that. But yeah, the story is definitely a big part of it.
Yeah.
Put on my brave face. I'm in a weak state. What memory can I save today? Painful, logical, emotional, stay still.
Dodo means a rope is being frayed.
Mm.
And there's a concept in Te Ao Māori called Te Taurahere Tangata, which means the bond or the threads that tie us all together. And so the song explores the feelings, I guess, or experiences of that rope being frayed with somebody really close, really trusted, And tries to figure out how to weave it back together. So it's not a giving up. It's not a like, you did this, so I'm just going to cut it. It's like, actually, look, I'm recognizing that this is being frayed.
Mm.
How do we weave it back together? Like, what's the
come
what's
and
the
sit deal? With me so we can actually
One of the lines is literally like, sit with me so we can weave it back together.
Yeah.
Even in the pain.
Even though I don't agree with the way that you dealt with that, or what you said about that situation, it's like, you know, you have different opinions to people, but it's like, rather than just being like, nah, no, it's like, well, what? Let's talk about this, you know?
Yeah, let's talk about it. Essentially,
yeah.
He Dodo features like a ko'o'o part that puts it up the front.
Mm.
There's tonga puro throughout the album, but this part, there's just a frequency. If you're classically trained in music or you're aware of music theory, you'll hear in this track the ko'o'o actually isn't on key in a couple of places. That's completely intentional, and there's something about its resonance that pulls on. I think there's like something deep within us that's just a part of our nature, because it's, you know, the instrument itself is made from nature, and the resonance coming off it is you know, it's just a natural sound. It's not something that's been tuned as such.
And
that was completely intentional. Because it expressed the tension, the emotion of the song.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Totally, yeah. I remember feeling it like when we played it, you know, when we were going through the Tawo'o that Ben had recorded with Emily, just being like, at first my ear was like, oh no, that's a little clash, but then I'm like, oh no, that's the clash that it needs, like, because the song is uncomfortable, you know?
Childhood dreams you made me believe. I shut my mouth and keep smiling. I don't know how to tell you. Hard to hide or hide and seek. I won't expose reality. I don't know how to tell you. Ehi dodo ana te toira. Ere nei a tāua noho mai. Kia whiria mā kaua tau o mua. Ai ni pēkāia noho mai. Kia whiria no. Stove is getting cold and I am growing old. I don't know how to tell you. You build me up and tear me down. Say you'll be here then you're not around. I don't know how to tell you. Ehi dodo ana te taura. Ere nei a noho mai. Kia whiria ngā kaua tau o mua. Ai ni pēkāia noho mai. Kia whiria no.
He tani pā kei taku waha kei taku wārero e noho ana kukupu e kai mana ui a mai kawai te tani pā.
He kaiti aki ngā kau e kai, ngā kaura nei. Pai wā ake rā ka ki te iaha rawa rā, ka whai nei. Kia whiria, ngā kaua tau.
OYH stands for On Your Heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny.
And it's got so many, we went back and forth on so many like meanings of it. Is it a metaphor for something?
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's a song to express a feeling that we couldn't name.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we left it like that because it was the rawest, that's what came naturally.
Yeah.
So On Your Heart. Yeah. What did we mean by that, Em?
It's about staying with someone even when they're hurting you because you love them. And maybe because it's always been the way that it's been. You haven't, like, sometimes it's hindsight, right? When you're out of that relationship, then you can look back and go, oh, man, I'm glad I'm not there anymore. Like, or, you know, you just didn't see it. You had your goggles on or whatever.
Not even that.
No?
Like, no, because I feel like there were situations, in terms of what inspired the song, this person was completely aware and they still decided to stay. And that was really hard, and hence why I had to write a song about it. So how do we, because you know, you want to respect, they come with their own mana, their own tino ranga tiratanga. If they've made a call, even though you've made all the things available to them and they've still decided not to, that's on them, and you just love them through it. And so On Your Heart is kind of a, like, oh, like it's on you, like it's, and it's on your heart. I got you, though. I'm here to carry whatever that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one's an odd one.
I just want you to be happy. I'm already broken or breaking. Me he wai I te kapu o tōku ringa. Kama turu turu I pōnei. On your heart, another kini nei ahau he tau maha haruki ruki he here te wete kia ka tira tukunau.
You can almost say it follows, like, hence, you know, hidodo, we've got hidodo on your heart and then burnt, and I think it's getting to that point of like after all these efforts, it's still, the bridge is still burning up.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it's that awkward when you're so close to somebody, it's that awkward position maybe that we have to take, that after everything's done, it's still gonna go sour.
Mm.
And so what can we do? And the song kind of just accepts it and still tries to maintain respect for that person.
Yeah.
One of the lines is kei taku urudoa. Urudoa is usually a term used to refer to somebody of like high rank or high regard in a community. And so even with that in mind, everybody's
it's also a shark, right? Urudoa.
Yeah, urudoa is a shark.
Yeah.
But that's what the respect is like.
Yeah, right.
How resilient, how tenacious.
Yeah.
And even when the community sees them like that and you're aware of the other stuff, you're not gonna, you've got so much respect that you're not gonna now shame that person in front of everyone.
Mm.
Like, they're like that and it's benefiting other people.
Well, I mean, all of the songs were written
kind of, within three months. Yeah, but which is that was a tough call. Like, I love spending time and digesting things.
Mm.
But we were awarded a beautiful grant from Te Māngai Pāho, Oro Kūrarua, which meant that I got to spend time as a Māori artist away from what's typically conceived as full-time work to focus purely on music and build, I guess, what could be something sustainable so that we can continue, you know, pursuing this career in music. But yeah, 3 months is a tight time frame to write. To be honest,
but you said they weren't written in close proximity, the three songs.
Well, in my mind, because they were so we're in so many different places living in a caravan, and so when we say 3 months, it didn't feel like that because we were always in a different place.
Yeah, true.
And so it felt like a completely different frame of mind, different place of heart and emotion.
Mm.
But I don't think they were written like
back to back or anything. No.
They weren't all together. They were definitely, we'd get into moments and be like, oof, this is tough. And then just write down our thoughts. Almost like journaling.
Yeah.
Then revisiting that because we couldn't shake.
Yeah, we did like quite a few like
just notes.
No, like both of us would just be like, oh, let's just write about this thing, both go and write, and then we'd bring it together and look at what we'd written.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot about that.
The feeling we've got.
Yeah.
We share that feeling. Let's write our own feeling, our own thoughts about that, articulations about that.
Yeah, and because of the way we're wired, Charles and I are very opposite people, you know, in the way we think about things. And so it was quite interesting seeing the different stories or things that we'd both written down and then putting it together into these songs. Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one close to talk to. Te whakapono atu. No need to open up this deck of cards. I keep them close and the door shut. When I try to call you, ia wā te wahaku. I try to open up and I'm unsure. I hesitate and shut the door.
Kei taku uru ae. Nā ia taku ae.
Sometimes is a little tune that I wrote a while ago, actually, not in the van, but it's one that I keep coming back to. I keep getting the melody in my head, and it's about acknowledging the feels and sitting with them, because I think it's just like the overwhelming pain and suffering that you see in the world, you know, and we can see it all because we've got our phones that show us way more than we used to be able to see, and it can be incredibly confronting to see what's going on in Gaza when you're just at home with your family having dinner and it's like, ah, that's so unfair, you know? And yeah, but it's okay to feel the mamai, to feel that hurt. Not that we're experiencing it ourselves, but just to, yeah. I don't know, to sit with the feeling sometimes is okay. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's like kind of what Emily was saying about our, like, the differences in how we perceive things as well.
Mm.
Like, my upbringing kind of taught me whatever cards I get dealt, that's what I play with. Mm. And my perspective kind of, I guess, adopts that even when it comes to emotions. Like, there aren't any bad emotions, is what we do with them.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting sometimes, because I know, you know, of a lot of people who, like, if there's a quote-unquote bad emotion, they try to get rid of it or cover it or we need to change. But sometimes sitting with it is the healthiest thing. Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. I think this would be a little song that we can share as a little reflection. They're going to be quite intimate shows that we're doing. The Secret Sun Tour is what we're calling it, and we're playing in nature. Total open access to anybody, no tickets. It's just come along, sit with us as we share these songs that we've written.
Sing to the sunset.
Sorry. Yeah.
It's all sunrise.
Well, no doubt our kids are running around. And just these beautiful places, probably with a blanket because it's through April. But yeah, I think I'm hoping that it'll be a really beautiful time of connecting with people and getting to just sit with feelings together and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, hear other people's thoughts as well.
Yeah, whether people want to say something or not, it's not the point. It's just come be present
with yourself.
Be human
with us.
Yeah. Cut out. Feel it.
Yeah.
I think what we take on and the attitude we're taking on with the tour is that we kind of want to let the environment determine what needs to be shared.
Mm.
And that seems to have worked out for us really well in every other time we've performed. Like, we'll go with a plan, I think, as a trained teacher. Failing to plan is planning to fail.
Mm.
But with the opportunity to adapt and pivot if we need to. So, and I don't think it will be back to back. We always get a sense before a show what songs need to be, I guess, most emphasized almost, eh?
Yeah, totally.
Like, what songs need to be up front and what songs can complement that.
Yeah, and actually it makes me think about our name, Aro, like, to pay attention. It's like, sometimes that means readjusting your set right there and then because right now this is not the right song to play. And we need this one instead. So, yeah, it's just being able to be aware, I guess, of what's going on and in the spaces that we're in and the people that we're with. Yeah.
Sometimes I feel so sad. Oh.
This is actually a beautiful moment we had in Havelock in Te Waipounamu, Muscle Farm Central, apparently.
Although we were there at the wrong season, I think.
Yeah. Oh, it was still,
oh no, we still had muscles.
Yeah, it was a really good time.
It was really good.
Yeah. But there, like, it was the early days of us living in a van, and so Em and I were still navigating what that looks like for us as a couple, as a duo, as parents. And one morning we woke up and there was fog covering the mountain. And I like this, Emily gives this description always, and it stuck with me, that we know, we're aware that there's a mountain there, but we can't see it. And sometimes in conflict or, in times of tension, seeing past that for the, you know, seeing the person behind that is can be really difficult.
Yeah.
And so Matangerengere is about that. It's about trying to see what's really cool is that in Te Ao Māori, mist and fog are actually attributed to the mist maiden, Hine Pū Kohurangi. And she's beautiful.
Mm.
And so to, trying to take that perspective or that perception of fog or being kind of confused. It's like, oh, there's beauty in this, though. Like, it's part of the process of realising who the person is.
Yeah.
What that, you know, the beauty of the maunga. Yeah. And so Matangerengere.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, when I think about relationships, it's like we're humans that are, we're 10 years into our marriage now almost, you know, it's like we've changed it, you know, we're not the same people that we were at the start of our marriage and we've learnt heaps and it's like, yeah, just that conversation and learning to grow together and, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Learning to see each other more clearly, yes.
I can't see past the fog. Ngā rarau kei mua ia tāua,
To, yeah, this one's similar to Sometimes in a sense, you know, being okay with being relieved in a world that's really quite messed up and feels like it's always on fire. It's like taking the time to breathe and be grateful for where we are. Yeah, sometimes I find myself getting caught up in these like mental states. I've recently learned that I'm quite an empath. And it's apparently, what was it?
Not being
able to observe
and be compassionate.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, rather than just sitting and feeling, oh my God, like it's so intense, you know. But then I'm like, and then I look around and I'm like, we're living on the road in a beautiful country, and it feels like I feel bad for it sometimes because I'm like, oh, we shouldn't be sharing how good it is here. And, you know, like it's that feeling. I'm like, I go to like share something online and I'm like, oh, but someone else has just gone through that. That's really hard. Maybe I shouldn't share it. But I'm like, well, if all of us just shared the hard stuff, it would be incredibly depressing. We need to also share the joy and the beauty, you know. And we go through different parts, you know. It's a roller coaster life, but yeah, I think it's important. And I love it when people share the good news as well. Personally, you know, it lifts me up, and seeing friends and family and even people that we don't know going through stuff, it's like, man, that's cool. So yeah, it's about being okay to share the good stuff.
I keep it to myself, don't want anyone to know. We are not allowed to show.
Mundane is about the mahi that's involved sometimes with the kaupapa you love. And though you love the kaupapa so much, the work for it can be just monotonous. And we know, like, our lifestyle is our choice. And we've spoken to a number of people who will be like, yeah, nah, not for me. I'm happy as with my 9-to-5. Getting to do what I do on the weekends, like, chur, mean. Yeah. But, mundane kind of, it's just, yeah. it kind of makes fun of that tension of, man, I love you, but this is dumb. Like, this is boring. This is mundane. We should have covered this already. Why are we still doing the same thing?
Yeah.
I thought we were over this.
Yeah.
And so mundane kind of has fun with that, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the idea. I've given so many different analogies.
Yeah,
but my favourite one is the one where, like, we throw the paper in the air. You're just like,
Yeah.
Like that.
Done.
That's what mundane should, what hope mundane feels like for people.
I guess it's kind of just a play on, like, we're in a skate rink, you know, not somewhere that people would usually refer to as a mundane place. It's actually a very fun place to be, right? But it's like...
going around and
around. It was kind of like, yeah, the movement of it. Yeah, the tease of it all, I guess, just being like, yeah, not wanting to get stuck in the grind. But I mean, at the start of the video, we're both like, I'm bored out of my brains at my little office job. Charles is cleaning up a place, you know. We're doing things that might seem mundane. And then suddenly we're like performing and doing the thing we love doing with people skating all around us, and it's just kind of like, do the thing that sets you on fire, you know? Follow your passions.
Don't ask me to come back, 'cause I don't want to. Kauai whakapā mai, ka reo e hiahia ana. Ki a koe arue, I thought you'd figure it out by now. We keep going around, just bigger circles. E pai a pio ana, a nini poi te kaha. I o tonoma, e nara, I'm sick of catching you, I tap out. Hei a haka, oki atu. That's why I'm not that into you. He mateite, marama. That's why I'm saying later blue. It's just mundane. Just mundane. It's all the same. Just mundane. Hey, aha.
Is our feature track.
It is our feature track, yep. Yes.
This one is literally like about our kids.
Yeah, it is.
About seeing the wonder and kind of inspired by this belief that we all carry the power of stars within us. And also that perspective that it's like at its rawest form when a child is born.
Yeah.
And so how do we take care of that? And so the song just celebrates that power, that wonder, not just within our kids, even though they're the kind of subject point, but in everybody. And there's one of my favorite lines in there is that we don't chase the stars, we raise them. And so it's really, you know, like what Em was pointing to before regarding social media and just how accessible everything is. I feel like it's quite daunting to try to want to not just put yourself out there, but to find your place in society and where you fit. And so how do we, almost like we're trying to find a lane, and maybe some of us are intended to just carve a lane for ourselves. And so, you know, rather than chase the star, just raise one. There's a star within you. How can we raise it?
Yeah.
Fill up the sky.
Yeah. When we were like, we're writing an album this year, and especially with the support from Te Maunga Pāho, with that freedom that it gave us, I knew that I really wanted to lean into, like, musically, the things that I find really exciting in music, and kind of like I became the vocal producer of this album. That's what Charles says anyway, and he was the music, more of the music director, eh?
Yeah, I guess so.
But I love, like, my favourite thing in the studio is the time when we get to do all of the, like, decorative vocal stuff, all of the harmonies, all of the weird little sounds, and we did so much on this album. And it was so fun just getting to run with it and try ideas, and then if we didn't like them, you know, scratch that. But I had one day with Em in the studio, Emily Wheatcroft Snap, and yeah, it was just so exciting getting to, like, throw every idea down, and I loved being able to be creative in that way, so I'd love to do more of that.
Yeah, I think for me, I've just become a lot bolder. I personally believe I'm intense. Quite intense.
Very intense.
Yeah, and I'm afraid of, I guess, expressing that in front of other people because I don't want to put them off or come across rude or anything. But I've recently learned, given the time, so much time now that I've been able to spend on our music, thanks to Maungai Pāho, that's kind of needed. Otherwise, it doesn't get to the guts, the point of, you know, the point of what we're all doing.
Yeah.
What we're doing anyway with our music. And so I've learned heaps about my perfectionism and how much that's required. And I think the beautiful thing about that is now I can at least, it kind of gives, what do you call it? Hea te kupu. Basically, I think it means that I can now celebrate other people. Like, things that we might think put other people off might be actually the necessary piece to a puzzle we're trying to figure out. Yeah, and I think, so there's heaps of beauty in that. And so I'm becoming less and less afraid of who I am.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm scary.
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah, it's I guess you grow a lot when you know, you put yourself out there you share all of your, all of our big whakaaro, you know? Like, this is definitely the most personal we've gone with our music, and it's been quite refreshing to just get to write it out and be like, yeah, these are things that we think about and feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I want our kids to grow up knowing that they're loved, but that they can be whoever the heck they want to be, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is still only the beginning. I feel like things are unfolding.
Mm.
Like, this is not it, Tefla, no.
Nah,
I'm
going to
be even scarier next time. No, no.
My girl wanted to have the whole world.
That was Long Player. Thanks, NZ On Air Music.